Tonight we're going to be able to hear from Missionary Kovach. I did learn properly how to pronounce the last name. Every time you have a CS in Hungary, that's the same as a CH. So Kovach. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm learning things. And we are thrilled to have them. Wonderful people. My wife and I had the joy of feeding all the missionaries this afternoon for lunch at our home. And what a blessing that was to hear their different stories and all of that. Let me once remind everyone before we bring him up. Next Sunday, we have a special New Testament for everyone in the Every family gets one. So we have one of these that's personalized with 35th anniversary. And then we have a special New Testament that we had printed up. And we have enough of these to give everyone, every child, every teenager, every mother and father one. It also has pictures of the early days in the Carpenter's Hall and different things throughout the years and a little story to tell. And it has, I think, 29, I think it is, Bible study lessons, so discipleship lessons. It's not 29, I think it's 18. Study lessons, and then, of course, the New Testament. It's going to be a blessing. And so that's a gift for everyone next Sunday for our 35th anniversary celebration. So at this time, Brother Kovach is coming up. Let's give him a big hand as he talks to us.
Thank you very much.
We'll also need the microphone later because we'll have question and answers. The handheld? Okay, they're pointing to it. It's over there. Brother Kovach, come speak
to
us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor. Good afternoon, folks. Okay, can I move this up? Oh, super. Such a blessing to be here with you all at Grandview Baptist Church. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and be part of the Missions Conference. I had the honor to meet Pastor Mutchler and Miss Wiki in Shelbyville, Tennessee. I assume that we share a burden for the printed page of the Holy Bible. And we were there last year with my family for about 9 days, if I'm right, honey, helping BLMF to print the Hungarian Bibles.
Whoa.
They were printing Hungarian Bibles, and we volunteered to help out with that. It is also a blessing for me to meet other missionaries and hear how God is working in their lives. It is encouraging me. I have my wife here, and I would like to introduce her one more time, if you would stand, honey. My wife's name is Bea. We are married for 19 years, and we have 3 kids. Right now, they are not traveling with us. All 3 of them are teenagers, so we can use all the prayers that you folks can offer for us. I would like to mention our table outside. We do have all kinds of free materials that we like to hand out. I still have a couple of Solviner's Bibles that I would like to give away absolutely for free. Prayer cards, gospel tracts, please come and check us out. I also had the chance to meet one of your members, Miss Sandy, in Romania. That was a blessing, and it's a blessing to see her again here in church. I would like to ask you, please open your Bible in the book of Romans this evening. Me and my family, we are missionaries to the country of Hungary. And I would like to talk about Hungary, about our call, and about our vision for our ministry. Romans chapter 10. We would like to read from Romans chapter 10. I would like to ask you to please stand for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 10. I would like to read verse 13, verse 14, and verse 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we are just so thankful today for your mercy, for your grace, for your blessings, for your protection that you gave us. Now I'm praying, Lord, that you would work on our hearts, including my heart, Lord. I'm praying that you would help us to see your will, your guidance for our lives better and clearer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. This morning I mentioned already that I got saved out of an atheistic, communist type of background, and I got many questions and comments on that. So I would like to talk about it a little bit, not in excess, but to the extent that I would feel it's suitable. I would have never thought, honestly, that the day comes in my life when I have to talk against communism and socialism in the United States. The reason why I like to talk about communism and socialism, because I myself lived under it for 18 years, and I myself was a member in different organizations of the Communist Party there in Hungary. So, because I went through some of it, I would like to share what I have seen, because I'm very concerned that the people of the United States are being deceived by politicians and being deceived by those who sit some in Washington, D.C., and they try to sell you communism and socialism. First, what I would like to let you know how communism and socialism came to our country, to the country of Hungary. It came right after World War II, which means communists like to come in when there is a turmoil in a country, when society is not stable. The way how they came in, they used the power of the Soviet Union, the Red Army, and voter fraud. That's very important to know. They would have never gotten the votes, but they got it with voter fraud. Now, once they were in power, they made sure to change everything in the country for their own favor, which meant the government took over large businesses, they confiscated private property in excess so they could fund their activities. The other thing that they got a hold of real quick was church properties, especially large church properties. And the other thing that they started to control very strictly was the education system, the public education system, by the reason that they could brainwash kids from an early age. I myself, when I was born in 1972 in Hungary behind the Iron Curtain, I was enrolled into an elementary school where the principal was a Communist Party secretary. And those public schools were obviously set up not just simply teach you math, you know, writing and different kind of sciences, but indoctrinate you into socialism and communism and make you believe that that is the best way of life that is available under the sun. They also wrapped our country around with barbed wire, and the reason why they wrapped it around, not to protect the country from others coming in, but rather keeping us happy people on the inside, so all the happy people would not escape. Now, otherwise, I'm for the wall. You know, I think that illegals should not come into any country. But back then, when I did not have any spiritual life in my life, that barbed wire kind of made me think that, you know, if we are so happy and this is the best type of society, why are we locked up? I mean, if we are so happy that nobody wants to leave then anyways, right? No, it wasn't right. Communism and socialism at the end will leave you without real answers to the fundamental questions of life.
That's what happened to me eventually. Growing up, I shared it in the Sunday school. In the elementary school where I went, a Christmas celebration was prohibited. We had pine tree holidays. We had this big old pine tree in the gymnasium, decorated, and we were singing songs to the pine tree and about the pine tree. And I was a little guy. I was looking at the whole picture, and I was like, this is crazy to celebrate a tree. But the party secretary principal did not want the name of Christ to be mentioned in our school. By the age of 18, I had all those questions in my mind, and I have realized that communism, socialism, what I have learned and the tradition that I grew up in do not have any answers. Growing up, we never went to any kind of church. We never had a Bible in our home. The religious broadcast was not allowed in the media. We lived in a city of 40,000 people, no Baptist church, no gospel preaching church. I never had anybody inviting me to church. I never had anybody witnessing to me, never had any spiritual life coming into my life. Until when I went to a secular college to learn agricultural engineering. I ended up in a dormitory room with a Christian young man who had a Bible that he was reading every morning. He had the book on the nightstand every morning. He would wake up and he would read it. I never had a Bible, didn't know nothing about the Bible, but he started to tell me about God. Now, as a former communist and atheist by then, I basically wanted to know one thing. Is God real? Is he a real person or not? Because in my mind, you know, if God is not real, if he is not a real person, then this whole Christianity is nothing else, just another worldview. Some people sat down, came up with some ideas, and one day it's going to fall apart, just like communism did in Eastern Europe. I was talking with this young guy, and he would tell me that he believes in God. Eventually, he purchased a Bible to me and gave it to me as a gift. Since then, I do believe in giving out Bibles as gifts. I started to read that Hungarian Bible, and again, I just wanted to know if God is real. When nobody saw me, I had silly little prayers, quote unquote, like, God, if you are there, do something so I would know that you exist. And what happened to me through the Word of God, the Lord spoke to my heart in a special way. So after half a year of reading that Bible, I concluded the fact that God is real. God is a real person. I didn't get saved, but just the real at that time. Just the realization that God is truly a real person blew my mind. Blew my mind. And I was like, you know, I was left out of this whole thing for a long time, but I don't want to be left out anymore. So I was reading that Bible. I continued my studies there in Hungary. And then, through an international program, I ended up here in the United States. I was working up north in Minnesota on a large farm to make money. And then I studied at the University of Minnesota, so I had the money to pay for the school. Then I moved to California, and I got a job over there. On the job, as I was working, I had a co-worker who started to invite me to a Baptist church, an independent fundamental Baptist church, Hopeful Baptist Church in Napa, California, Pastor Mike Ray. I was 26 years old. I have never been to a Baptist church in my life. So at the age of 26, first time in my life, I went to a Baptist church. And I started to hear the gospel, and eventually I got saved. This is a wonderful thing. It is, I'm sure, is encouraging your heart. But I would like to also challenge you, not just encourage you. Please remember, I had two people in my life who played key role to get the Word of God to me and to get me into church. And those guys, both of them are everyday people. They are not super Christians. They are not some, you know, great people that did something great back in history, they are everyday people just like you and me. The first one was a schoolmate in college, another college young man. Now, if you are here and you are that age, late teen, early 20s, could I challenge you to make it a personal business to invite others to church, to give out gospel tracts, to give out the Bible, you know? Guess what? It works. It did work in my life. And I'm very thankful to that man, that young man back then. By now, he's not that young. By the way, he's still in church. He's still in church. He's still married to the same lady that I knew back then as his first girlfriend and then little bride, and then they got married in college. They started to have kids even in college. Wonderful folks. And then I had a co-worker on the job from Hopeful Baptist Church who would invite me to church. He is not a preacher. He's not a Sunday school teacher. He is a Hispanic. And that Hispanic man, he speaks very good English too, but that Hispanic man got a burden for me. He got a burden for me to get me into a good church. Now, if you are working on the job, you just do not know who are you working with. Back then, I did not look like a missionary. If I can share this, I had much longer hair. I had a motorcycle. I dressed in black leather. I still did. I read my Bible. But there were a lot of things that I simply didn't know. And that's how I went to work, and I really enjoyed the motorcycle and all of that. And he would still invite me to church, come to church. And eventually I got into church and got saved. Who should you invite to church on the workplace? Please don't look at their hairstyle or the way how they appear on the outside. You know, back in those days, I could really look very different. And I didn't look like a missionary to Hungary. But there was somebody, you know, who had a heart for God and who made it a personal business, to in a personal responsibility, he felt like, to invite me to church, come to church, sit with me. By the way, I was an international student. This is such a blessing for me to see international students here in this church. Because I got saved as an international student because somebody cared. I got saved in Hopeful, and the Lord called me to preach in Hopeful Baptist Church. It was very interesting. I did not have any special sign from heaven, but I just knew in my heart one day that God called me to preach. And I thought I will really surprise Pastor Ray and tell him. He'll be real surprised, you know. I was kind of looking forward to see his face, you know, his face is going to fall and all of that. And I said to him, Pastor Ray, I believe God called me to preach. He looked at me and he said, I know. I'm like, what? He's like, I know, we were just waiting on you. For his praise, he never pushed me. He never told me that you would make a good preacher, brother, or anything like that. He just allowed the Holy Spirit to work on my heart. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is still working on hearts. And I don't see your heart, and I don't know what the Holy Spirit is telling to your heart. I just know one thing. It is very wise to obey. It is very wise to do what the Holy Spirit would tell you to do. Later on, I had to make some decisions in life regarding where to move. And I made it a very serious matter of prayer, to the extent that I resigned the workplace where I worked, and I had some money saved, and I would lock myself up, not go anywhere. And I tried to pray and fast as much as I could to find out where to go. God eventually led me back to Hungary. I would recommend, when you are making big decisions in life, make sure to pray about it. I went back to Hungary. That's where I met my wife. The same time when I lived here in the States, she lived here in the States. We never met here. But moving back to Hungary, we met there and eventually got married. And I have no doubt in my life that I married the lady that I was supposed to marry. I was persuaded from early on as I prayed and the Lord just showed it to me that she's the one. And to demonstrate my conviction, I invited her out on a date, the first date. And on our first date, I proposed to her. It was a Saturday morning. Now, I don't recommend you do that. Unless you really know what you are doing. It was a Saturday. We went out on visitation. Visitation was over. I invited her out to a place to eat. We are making our way to the place to eat. I cannot eat with a nervous stomach, so you know I have to settle this question. And I said to her, Bea, I prayed about it. I believe it's God's will for me to marry you. That's what I said. You know what she said? Joel, I prayed about it too. I believe it's God's will. A year later, we were married. We are married for 19 years, have 3 kids, and I still know that she's the one for me. Now, I don't recommend it necessarily to propose on the first date, but I definitely recommend you to pray about it. Back then, we were very busy in the ministry, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't have time to date. I don't have time for socialize with young ladies. I'm very busy. Lord, I'm praying. You just show it to me who is the one that I'm supposed to marry, and I promise you, I just married the one. That's what I did. And the lesson that I have learned through that God will provide for our legitimate needs. And if you have a legitimate need in your life, make it a matter of prayer. God will provide to you. God will provide guidance. God can provide a mate. God can provide all kinds of things that you legitimately need in life. But make sure to pray and not to make your decision in the flesh. Returning to Hungary, I worked in the ministry from 1998 in different positions, and the Lord worked on me quite a bit during those years. I had a lot of things in the ministry that I really liked and I wanted to do. One of them was to work with international students, and we did work with international students. Some of them got saved, baptized, joined a church, and so forth. You know why? I was walking around in our city back then years ago, and we started to have these international students coming in from all over the world. We have a very good medical school in our city there in Hungary, and they were coming in by the thousands. By now we have almost 5,000 international students in our city. And I was looking at those faces, and the Holy Spirit just reminded me, Jolt, when you were that age in the United States, some people got a burden for you, and they invited you to church. So looking at these college kids, what do you think? What are you supposed to do? And I knew what I was supposed to do. Work with them, invite them to church, preach the gospel, witness to them. If you are saved, you have a debt. Somebody brought the gospel to you in some form and shape, let it be a track, inviting you to church or witnessing to you. You're supposed to do something. You're really supposed to do something. Because other people did something for you. And you were not saved just to sit around and enjoy it. I mean, enjoy it. I do enjoy it. But please remember, God would like to employ you. I have 3 kids. I love all 3 of them. But I have all kinds of chores around the house. And I still love them. But I tell them what to do. And I don't tell them what to do because I don't love them. I tell them what to do because that's the right thing to do. And God has all kinds of chores and all kinds of wonderful plans for you. But it takes your obedience and your willingness, just like we heard this morning, your willingness to get into His business. One day, kind of unexpected thing happened to me. I had a friend who was a prison evangelist visiting, and he challenged me on prison evangelism. Now, if there was one thing, I rather admit, that I never wanted to do, never thought about it, never had a desire, that was prison evangelism. I've never been to prison. I can work with international students easily. I can relate to them. I can work with Hungarians easily. I can relate to them. I can work with all kinds of people group, but prison? I was like, no, brother, I just don't see it. But you know what? I'm willing to pray. Of course, it's not God's will, but, you know, I will pray. And I prayed. And in the early morning devotions, when I would seek the Scripture, God would speak to my heart in a special way. Let me ask you the question. Do you read the Bible by yourself, to yourself, just to hear from God? God still has a lot of things to say. And regarding prison ministry and prison evangelism, He sure started to talk to my heart. I was the most surprised. I was like, wow. Wow. I don't know how this whole thing is going to work, but the only thing that I can say is, wow. The Lord spoke to my heart over and over, so eventually I surrendered. Because I told the Lord that I still would like to have a surrendered life. Folks, I hope you too. That's the right thing to do, to have a surrendered Christian life. Anyways, the Lord confirmed it over and over. Eventually, I surrendered and started the prison ministry. It was very interesting. When I first went to the prison, you know, everybody wants to get out. I was the one who wanted to get in. And I figured out, when you are a preacher, it's not that easy to get in. But you know what I said to the Lord? Lord, if you want me to preach the gospel in that prison, you have to open that door. If you called me to do this, you need to open the door for me. Guess what? He opened the door. He opened the door. You know what? If something is God's will for you, He will open the door. If something is God's will for you, you don't have to kick that door. You don't have to ram through the door. God will open the door for you. And the Lord opened the door for me. And then I've seen people getting saved. And I've seen people getting saved who will never get out, because they have a life sentence. And you know, when those things happen, the Holy Spirit just reminded me, Jolt, I knew it from moment one. Folks, I have realized that God wants us to obey Him by faith. When God moves on your heart and you don't see how this whole thing is going to work out for you, you just trust Him, because He sees it and He knows it. But when it comes to your life and to your heart, there is only one person in the universe who can make the decision, and that person is you. And if God is working on your heart over something that you know about, there's an old-fashioned altar here where you can settle it. Thank you for your attention. Thank you, Pastor.
Okay.
That's right here. Stay right here. Okay. Let's see. We're going to go ahead and ask some questions, Brother. Vestal has the microphone here. And Brother Vestal, would you stand down there? If you have a question about maybe the prison ministry or Hungary or how Brother Kovac ministers there, just raise your hand. And let's go right with Brad first, and then we'll come back around this way.
By the way, thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir.
My question concerns church planting. Is there a church planting a large church planting ministry in Hungary. I was interested that you were going with a prison ministry instead of a church planting ministry, and I was impressed with that.
Yes, there are church planters working in Hungary. And throughout our ministry, we helped church planters, even to the extent that before I became a missionary, I came to the United States to invite missionaries to come over and plant churches. And by God's grace, some came. And it's still the way how we see it. You know, we do have some church planting going on, but we would like to see a lot more.
Yes.
So we are still in the business of promoting Hungary and promoting church planting in Hungary. And if somebody comes over and they need our help, you know, I would do what I can.
Yes, wonderful. Let me mention some of the differences. In church planting, you're going to people to try to reach them to come to a place. Well, of course, you're sharing the gospel, but trying to come to a place so you can preach God's word. In prison ministry, you already have people in a place that can't go anywhere, that God has allowed life circumstances to get them interested in listening. And when you have a service, it's an opportunity to get out of your jail cell to go to a meeting.
That's right.
And you don't care what the meeting is, but if it's the gospel and it's something about God, and you've been asking questions in your cell and you're looking for help, you're going to find that many times God is preparing hearts in a mighty way. So actually, prison ministry, jail ministry, is a wonderful opportunity to lead people to Christ when they are most wanting God's help. How many think if you were in jail, you'd be wanting God's help? Yeah. Because their families are on the outside, and many of them will never see them again. And so it's a wonderful ministry to go in there. And when you see them get saved, they do have many times families who come visit. And then they get saved.
Right.
And so it's a wonderful thing of leading people outside the prison when you lead people inside. And then everybody's not lifers. Some are there for a little while. And they'll go out and they'll get in churches and they'll start serving. So it is a wonderful opportunity. And the main reason he went to prison ministry versus church planting is that's how God called him.
That's right.
If God called me to do something else, it wouldn't be church planting. That'd be outside of God's will for my life. But God called me to start this church. So that's a very good question, Brad. Another question right here. Yes, and then Frank.
I'd like to know, what college did you go to, the secular college did you go to, and was there anyone else there that was influential in your becoming a Christian?
I went to two secular colleges. One of them was in Hungary, close to our capital, Budapest. And there was this one young man who was influential. And really, I would have a hard time to name anybody else. That one person made the difference in my life. I then studied at the University of Minnesota, and I will be very honest with you, there was not much gospel influence on me there. So I would conclude one guy made a difference.
And that's probably true how most of our universities are. Not much gospel witness there in secular gospels. Frank Helton in the back here, then we'll come by TJ, and then we'll go right over here.
How does the where's the government at as far as the communist rule? I mean, are they more relaxed, welcoming, or are you still having to deal with that fence issue and being locked into the country?
Officially, communism fell, you know, in 1990, and the Iron Curtain was dismantled, so it was done away, and Hungary became a democracy. So we have free elections, and we can elect our leaders freely, which is a huge blessing. And we did not have a fence for a long time until we started to have some illegals coming in from the Middle East, and too many started to come. So Hungary decided to build not a wall, but 8 layers of fences on our southern border so nobody would come in illegally into our country. We welcome legal visitors into our country, but not illegals.
Yes.
No threat. I would say that in our history, in Hungary's history, this is probably the greatest time of freedom as far as preaching the gospel. I'm not saying that Hungarians are necessarily wide open as people or persons, but the country and legally, yes, it is open.
Okay. TJ.
Are there any special requests?
Go ahead.
Are there any special prayer requests or special needs that you guys might have that we could pray for as a church?
Right now, you know, we are on deputation, so deputation is a priority for us. Because of deputation, we travel quite a bit, so traveling mercies, good meetings with churches. We would like to finish deputation in a reasonable time.
Now, their children are back in Hungary.
That's right.
So they're not here in the United States with someone. They're back in Hungary. And you have family there?
Yes, sir. We have family
with
there.
With your children?
Yes.
Okay. And then right over here. Brother Keister.
I want to know if that young man that was in your room, was he Hungarian or some other nationality?
Yes. Oh, he was Hungarian. He was a Hungarian young man, and he grew up in a Christian home. Very few Hungarians would grow up in a Christian home. My wife did. That young man also grew up in a Christian home, and because of that, you know, they always went to church. He was very familiar with the Bible, and the Lord just used him in my life.
Jeremiah?
The question that I was wanted to ask was about the prison ministry. So here we have prison, which is long term, and then jail is short term, and we go into the jails. Are you able, should you have church services in there, and then do you do discipleship from there, and do you see fruit come from the jails to your church?
Our ministry right now is not a jail ministry. It's a prison ministry. So the prison where we are working, it's usually folks who will spend a longer time in the prison. Plus, right now, the way how it worked out, they started to move them around quite a bit. So it's not really helping our ministry to see them come out and put them into church. And just to share the future vision, because of this situation, we would like to go into more prisons so we could follow them better and we could disciple them better. But what we do right now is that we are able to meet them in groups, teach them, preach to them, give them material, if somebody gets saved, give them material that they could read and help them with discipleship. But again, the idea is that we would like to see them come out and get into church, because if they are not in church, you know, that's going to be a problem for them.
Okay. Any other questions? Any over here? Over here? Okay. Well, thank you so much, Brother Kovac.
Thank you, Pastor.
And let's give him a big hand.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you. So the ushers are going to come, and we're going to take up a love offering for the missionaries. Keep in mind that we're hoping our people will give at least once at one of these offering opportunities, one sizable gift, and sizable is relative to you and to your needs and your abilities. Don't worry if you can't give what someone else can, but just do what we can do, and we'll put it all together, and God will make sure that it's enough to be a blessing. And if you're not prepared tonight, then maybe tomorrow night's the night, or Tuesday night, or Wednesday night. But come prepared to be able to give some sacrificial gift, as far as our lives are concerned, to our missionaries. It'll all be divided among them and be a blessing to them, and we're looking forward to that. So, ushers, if you'll come at this time. Now, if you don't have that special gift, then you will be able to maybe give a few dollars or something like that at the other ones. Also, if you filled out, God's already laid on your heart how much you should give more to missions, be sure to give your card. This morning I turned mine in, and you just fold it up and put it in the globe. Now you can do that after the service, you can do it before the service, you can do it while missionaries are talking out in the foyer. They will be up here for our people to use. So we're not going to twist your arm or have a long offering. We're going to just trust that the Holy Spirit is going to tell us what to do, and we'll just obey and do what God leads on our heart and just come and put it in there. Now, you'll notice on our gift it says where to put your name. We don't track that. We just take the sum and we destroy the cards. We just take the amount. So why do you have us put a name on there? Well, because we're hoping some 5-year-old isn't giving $100 a week, you know, and we budget our giving on all that. So it lets us know it's a legitimate gift from a person, and then we can take that. What you give and what you put down there, that's between you and God, nobody else. So we don't record that. Nobody's going to ask you for it. It's just the commitment we're making to the Lord that this is what I'm going to do on a weekly basis because God's touched my heart. And you should have much prayer about that. Pray that God will lay something on your mind. And I guarantee if you pray, God will do that because missions is close to the heart of God. Lost souls is why he sent his son. So he'll let you know. You won't have to worry about that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the presentation tonight and hearing about Hungary and how you worked in Brother Kovacs' life, dear Father, and how you brought him to faith in Christ. And now you're sending him back to his home country, Lord, to work in the prison ministries and see many, many people come to faith in Christ. Lord, I pray your hand of blessing would rest upon him and his dear wife and his children and use them for your honor and your glory. Now, Father, as we give, it is but a token of what you've given to us in that you gave us salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that our gifts would help our missionaries continue on their deputation trail and get to the field to which you've called them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come at 5:30. We'll have dinner all ready for you. It'd be something quick and simple. We won't feed you so much that you'll fall asleep during the service, but we will feed you enough that you'll be full enough to listen, and it'll be a blessing to you. I want to ask all the missionaries if they could be dismissed right now and go to your table out in the foyer, and we hope you'll have an opportunity to take their prayer card, talk to them, ask questions personally of them. We are so fortunate to have these heroes of the faith. That's what missionaries are, wonderful heroes of the faith, godly people, willing to go wherever God leads. Now, tomorrow night, we'll have four missionaries with us. We'll have missionaries going to Japan. Go is his first name. You ought to go with the gospel with a name like Go, right? And I hear he's a remarkable young man and his dear wife. And they are missionaries to Japan. He is Japanese, so he speaks fluent. And he'll be going back there, starting a church, and we'll be excited about hearing from him, too. Now, tomorrow night, let's see, who's speaking tomorrow night? It's right there on your... Is that Brother Keister? Is that on Monday night? Well, since none of us know, I'll just say we're going to have a good speaker tomorrow night. It's on the card we passed out this morning. At this time, we're going to dismiss our service. Thank you so much for coming. Do your best Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Father, thank you for this time we have together. We pray your blessings as we dismiss. Thank you for our missions and missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen.